Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are learning together Mizmor Nun Gimel, the 53rd Psalm in the book of Tehillim. It is small, it is short, and it is powerful. Let's take a quick look at this. It is a sum total of 7 psukim in overview and basically 2 sections. The first section, the first pasuk is the Kotevet, its inscription, which is Lamatzach Amachalat Maskil LeDavid. It seems to be musical instruments. There's the Matzach is for the conductor, the Machalat and the Maskil are, according to many Meforshim, instruments to David. The first section runs from Beis Dalad, talking about the disgrace of people who are Nevalim, who are disgusting people. Then from pasuk Hey to Vov is the rebuke of the evildoers. It is their evil will not go unchecked. Hashem will bring justice to them. And finally, in pasuk Zion is the hope for salvation of Israel. It seems to focus and shift towards redemption. Mi yiten mitzion yeshuas yeshuos Yisrael, who will give the salvations from Zion, and that day will be a happy day for Israel. In terms of the theme, this Mizmor seems to be focusing on the corrupt human being. He bemoans those terrible people who deny Hashem, take advantage of Israel. And in fact, those people's actions and comments corrupt and affect the moral caliber of the people around them because of the way they act. We hear a number of parallels to other parts of Tanakh. Early on, we hear about the Dor HaMabul, the corrupt generation. We hear sort of words that relate to the Philistines. You know, when Avraham Avinu's wife, Sarah, is kidnapped by Avimelech and the people of the area of Gerar, he says, Rak en yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. He's worried that the reason why he said she was his sister was because he was concerned that ultimately they would kill him rather than simply let him live and his wife live. They wanted to take her away. So he says that what was lacking here is Yirat Elohim, the word Elohim, and the fear and the presence of God seems to be a central focus of this Mizmor. Similarly, the idea of Sodom, when we talk about Avraham Avinu praying for Sodom and Hashem looking down upon Sodom, we see word parallels there as well. Societies which are corrupt, the Dor HaMabul, the Philistines, the generation of Sodom, these seem to be the kinds of societies that we're talking about and has been commented on as a whole, in this Mizmor, and then it ends more globally and nationally as it refers to the salvation of Israel as a whole. In terms of events behind this Mizmor, it should be noted that this Mizmor does appear 2 times in the book of Tehillim almost identically. First, it appears in the first book of Tehillim as Mizmor Yud Dalad 14, and now it reappears in the second book of Tehillim as Mizmor Nun Gimel. Way back when we learned Yud Dalad together, we noted this. Just a quick recap of some of those points is there are a few minor differences between the renditions of this Mizmor. So for instance, if you put them side by side, in Mizmor Yud Dalad in 14, the Kotevet, the inscription is much shorter. It isn't Machalat, it's not Maskil, and it's actually part of the first Pasuk. Whereas in this Mizmor in Nun Gimel, it is actually its own Pasuk because it is a longer rendition of its introduction. Number 2 is also like, you know, the name Havaya, the name of Hashem, Yud Kei, and the Nevav Hei, appears as the major name of Hashem in the version in Yod Dalet, whereas in this version in 53 in Nun Gimel, it appears the name of Elohim. There seems to be a lot of interchanged words, added, subtracted letters here and there. It is one of the biggest differences is that Pasuk Hey and Vav in Mizmor Yod Dalet are parallel to the Pasuk Vav in Nun Gimel, and they're a little bit different in terms of wording and focus, but the overall theme of the Mizmor is the same. So the question we can ask us, and there's many, many, many more differences here and there, but in terms of, we can ask ourselves, why is it that it is such? Why is it that these two Mizmorim are framed? Who said them? Were they about different people? Why should it be included twice over in such a short context? The Malbim explains that the first one, with Mizmor Yod Dalet, was David HaMelech's actual life, referring to an experience he had in his own life. That's why it was Namanatzeach LeDavid. Whereas this second one was actually a later rendition used by people at the times of Chizkiyahu and Sancheiriv. What had happened was the people had this miraculous salvation from the armies of Sancheiriv. And after that incredible salvation, they co-opted this. They took this Mizmor, which David had said individually about his life, and they used it to express their salvation against the greater disgraceful people of Assyria. Rashi, in a similar line, says that one of them is referring to Titus Arasha, and the disgusting things that is said about when he came and destroyed the temple. So similar kind of thing. The first one was David HaMelech himself, but the second time was used at the times of Nebuchadnezzar, We're describing this Naval, this disgusting person, referring to what Titus did when he destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, which is a whole lot later. The Gemara in Yevamos on Samach Gimel and Beis does give a few other possible suggestions who Naval could be. Naval could be the Sadducees, the Tzidoikim, those people who rejected the rabbinic aspect of the Torah, or the oral law, and only accepted and adopted the lifestyle based on the biblical law. The Gemara goes on to quote a Braisa, which suggests that from the that it refers to the inhabitants of Barbaya and Martinai, who walk around naked in the marketplace. Those are the Naval people who don't have a sense of basic morality, who don't have a sense of tzniut, of their own personal discretion, certainly not about caring about what other people are around them. And this the Gemara goes on to say that it may refer to the Chavarim, which refers to the Zoroastrians, who were in power at the time of the Iranian, in the Iranian time. They were in charge of the area of Iran, and the Gemara notes them in various many different places. How the Chavarim, these Zoroastrians, affected Jewish life. Certainly, Hanukkah had affected in a number of ways. Be it as it may, it seems to be that this Naval seems to be an open-ended description, meaning the later version of this Naval seems to be expanded to all types of immoral societies, all types of instigators and agitators that we've had throughout our history, and perhaps that's why it is repeated twice. I do want to point out one thing which I just noticed, and not many of the Mefarshim actually directly link this, but if you look at the previous two Mizmorim, they're about the life and times of David. David Melech talks about Natan HaNavi coming to him after Bathsheba, then he talks about Doega Adomi. The next one's going to be about the Zifim. This middle one, it would stand to reason, would also be about a person or an episode in David Melech's life. And if we look into Tanakh, we do see there's a person called Naval in David HaMelech's life. If you go to Shmuel Aleph Perek Chofei, there is a person whose name is Naval. Who is Naval? He's described as Ish B'Ma'on U'Maseva Carmel. He was a man who lived in Ma'on. He had assets in Carmel, and he was Ish Gadol Ma'od. He was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and goats. I mean, 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He b'gzozes tzonam b'Carmel, and he would share his sheep in Carmel, and his name was Naval, and his wife's name was Abigail, who was a very good person. But it's interesting that the Tanakh goes on to say, "Va'ish kashev ram alalim v'hu kalavi." He was a hard man. He was a tough man. He was a kalavi, could mean an evildoer, as perhaps translated. There's always there's a sort of dog nature to that. The theme dog does come up a lot in that parak as well. And what happens is that David HaMelech does protect his shepherds, because David HaMelech and his men are in the area. He protects his shepherds from harm. And when David HaMelech asks to be supported, to have some sort of financial support that he's able to feed his men, Naval rejects him, and David HaMelech is very angry. He's about to go out and march on Naval and kill him, when his wife Avigal goes out and sends a welcome package and explains her husband and saves his life ultimately. Meantime, Naval is completely dead drunk at this point in time from his party, which he's been having while ignoring David. And when he wakes up in the morning, Avigal tells him the whole episode, and he has this heart attack. He has some sort of stroke, which keeps him in a semi-comatized state for about 10 days, and then he dies. And that's the end of Naval, and David HaMelech marries Avigal, who's one of David HaMelech's wives. And what is interesting about this whole episode is that Naval seems to be a person over here who's not an ideological foe of David. It isn't that he is like a Doeg or a Shaul or an Avner who are ideologically out to get David. Rather, this Zifim, as you're going to see soon, rather it seems that Naval seems to be just a very self-centered person. He just seems to be living his life, and he doesn't want to have to share anything. In fact, some of the Mefarshim say that the reason why he had a heart attack or a stroke when his wife told him about this episode was not out of fear that he could have imminently have been destroyed, but it was that his wife sent out this welcome package to David with all his assets, and so much money was sent out to David. He was so shocked that he lost so much to David, even though it was at the pain of death. I mean, to say this is the ultimate self-centered person. This is not an ideological, intellectual, cerebral person. This is a narcissist. This is a person who's all about themselves and their assets and their numbers and how much they're worth. That's the kind of person we're talking about. And of course, we can think of many people today who fit the bill, which is perhaps why it has been broadened to what we have to a second mizmor. Places in our Tefillah, it appears, does not appear wholesale. However, the last pasuk is in some nuscha'at, the beginning of the Ma'ariv prayer, and some say and sometimes it is said as reciting Tehillim, which is Mi Yitein Mitzion Yeshuas Yisrael. That Hashem, we ask, would it be that Hashem would give from Zion the salvation of Israel? It's either Yeshuot Israel or Yeshuat Israel, depending on which version of the Mizmor we're looking at. And just to comment on that pasuk in the spotlight for just a moment, the Dat Mikra Rav Amos Chacham points out that if you contrast it with pasuk Gimel says Elokim Yishamay Mishkif Abnei Adam Nirois Hayesh Maskil Doresh Elohim. Hashem looks down from the heavens and he says, is there anyone who's looking after Hashem? Is there anybody who's living a moral and upstanding life? And the answer is no, there's no one. Meaning Hashem is in heavens. And the reason why Hashem is in heavens is because there's nobody on earth who's bringing him down. There's nobody living a godly life in this world. And if there's no one living a godly life, Hashem remains in the heavens. And therefore the Mizmor ends with, Mitzion Yeshuas Yisrael. Would it be that Hashem would be found in Zion? Would it be that the Hashem would have an abode on this earth with the people willing to live a lifestyle which is commensurate to the law of God, which would bring God back to society so he shouldn't have to be looking down from heavens? That is what the wish is at the end of this Mizmor and pulls it all together. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.